Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for your strength. Lord, I pray that you would be with me now, Lord, and I pray that you would just fill me with your presence, fill us all with your presence. And I pray now, Lord, as we look at the letter of Galatians, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would see that we are called to a freedom to love. And Lord, open up our hearts to that. And I just pray for your spirit now, Lord, especially I'm tired this morning, Lord, and I just pray for your strength. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here now that doesn't know who you are, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would make yourself known to them, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the, going to school and pastoring and doing all the other things in life sometimes gets a little tiring. And especially when you're up doing homework till about 11 o'clock at night, trying to put together a sermon, then turn around and getting up at 4:30 and writing more and reading more. And that's where I'm at right now this morning. So you can keep me in prayer, and I would appreciate it. I was studying Galatians for class, Galatians 5:13 through verses 15. Galatians 5:13 through 15. And if you have your Bibles, open up there. As I was studying this and preparing for a lesson in seminary, I couldn't resist but to share what I had learned. And so this morning that we're going to look at that. The first thing I want you to do if you have your bulletin is to pull out your bulletins, and on the back you'll find an outline for the sermon. And I would like you to cross out the word serve on the top and put this title change as freedom to love. Freedom to love. And it's Galatians 5:13 through 15. As we look at these verses this morning, we are looking at another group of churches that have gotten off track. We've been going through the letter of 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 12 of that. We've been looking at spiritual gifts. And we've come to a point where Paul is encouraging the church through the gifts to be one body. And I thought this was a good fit. It just naturally fits here. Because this is another region that had gotten off track. Paul wrote the letter from Galatians, probably from Antioch, as he had heard about false teachers and Judaizers who had made their way into the churches right after he left. And these teachers were insisting that the new Gentile believers had to take on the customs of the Jewish believers, the Jewish Christians. They needed to follow the dietary laws and the different ceremonies, and they had to be circumcised in order to be right before God. And this made Paul very angry. I mean, you could tell in the letter, if you read the few verses prior to verse 13, you can see his reaction to that idea. There was another group who was also at work in these churches in this region of Galatia. And they were taking liberties with the freedoms that they had in Christ. I'm free, they thought, and I can do whatever I want. Everything is permissible. Remember in the Corinthians, Paul addressed this with them because they had sayings. Everything is permissible. Everything is permissible. Remember, Paul said everything is permissible, not everything is beneficial. Antinomianism is something that the church has been dealing with from the very beginning. This idea that I'm saved by grace and thus I am free from any moral law. I am free and cannot sin. That's the idea behind this. In the church, we have to constantly guard against those who would teach a different gospel and those who take liberty with sin. It's a battle of outside influences with those who are struggling with sin inside the church. You can see it almost being pushed from outside and from inside. When we think about a different gospel, I want you to think about it like this. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. When someone comes along and says that you have to do something, that you have to add works to the gospel other than faith to receive Christ, it's another gospel. Because we are saved by faith alone, by grace alone. There is nothing to add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is all that is needed. So beware of anyone who says you have to add something to your religious beliefs in order to know Christ. The issue that we're going to look at this morning is in the text, has to deal with freedom. And we live in a culture that prides itself on freedom. We have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we are free. And we take great pride in that. We are free to practice our religion any way that we see fit. And this idea transfers very nicely into Christianity because its roots are Christian. But what does freedom mean in the life of the believer? What does it mean when we read, we are free? What are we free of, and what are we free to do? That's the question. In this whole chapter of Galatia, chapter 5, Paul sets the answer to this question. What are we free of something, and what are we set free to do something? So if you have your Bibles, Galatians 5, 13 through 15, I'm reading out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and it says this, "For you were called to be free. Brothers, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the entire law is fulfilled in this one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, for you will be consumed by one another." Several times in this letter, Paul refers to the calling of the Galatians. He didn't think that it was he who had called them out, but he did think that God had sent him to them to bring the gospel. But he knew that it was God himself who called the people of Galatia. This freedom that they were called to was not something that they earned, but it was, and it wasn't the result of something they did. And just like us, it's not something that we earn. They were free because they were called by God, affirmed, chosen, or elected by God. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6 says this, "For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, that he favored us in the beloved." Before we knew God, God knew us. And before we loved God, God loved us. This calling on the Christian life has a purpose. We are called to be free. But what are we free from? We are freed from the law of sin and death and free to obey God and to do His will. The Christian life is empowered by the Holy Spirit that enables us to do what we couldn't do before. In the letter, we are free from ourselves. We are free from ourselves. That's what we couldn't do before. We were slaves to self, to serve self. But in Christ, we are free from ourselves. For we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. In the letter to the Romans, Paul wrote, "For you know that the old self has been crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since the person who has died is free from sin's claims." In this letter to the Galatians, Paul echoes this twice. One of my favorite verses in the Bible says this: "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 6:14 says this: "But as for me, I will never boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world." For the Apostle Paul, nothing was more important than the cross and the freedom that came with it. He didn't want anything to take away from it. And he called what he called the offense of the cross, God's incredible act of love displayed towards us, in that he sent his Son, Jesus, to die for us as a propitiation for our sins. That is our punishment. The punishment that we all deserved was poured out on Christ as he hung on the cross. God's justice against sin was satisfied in the person of Jesus on our behalf. And I can stand before God justified in faith in Christ. And he did this because he loved. John, 1 John 4:10 says this: "Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." By doing so, God set us free from sin, and he has called us to be free. In this calling of freedom, though, there are temptations. We are free, but there are temptations. There is a temptation to go back to try to earn our way, to try to get our way into heaven by doing stuff, trying to gain God's favor. There's a temptation to go back to works and draw attention to ourselves and away from our sin. There's a temptation to take our freedoms in a whole other direction, to abuse the grace that God has given us and to live the way that you want to live. Our freedom is threatened by two main threats: legalism and the flesh. Legalism is following rules, rule following, trying to earn your way into heaven by your own merit. It is following the law in order to attain salvation and righteousness. It is also by maintaining maybe a code of rules that you have. And worse off, you start to impose those rules onto others, most likely because you can't maintain them yourself. It is a constant threat to the Christian way of life. In fact, at the beginning of this chapter, Paul says, "Christ has liberated us to be free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery." Paul is saying to go back to the law, to the customs, and to the dietary laws was a yoke of slavery. He's presenting the idea that you become legalist, you're no longer free to live in the grace of Christ, but you are more concerned on what you should do or what others are doing. But even worse, you're not only concerned about your own rule following, but you're also concerned with what others are doing or what they're not doing. And you start to judge them by your own standard and not by God's standard. The second threat is the flesh, and it's the main one that that is addressed here. For you are called to be free, brothers only. Don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but to serve one another through love. Two words in this verse that I want you to draw your attention to, and it's opportunity and flesh. Opportunity, Paul's saying, don't use your freedom as an opportunity. And what does he mean by that? I mean, you read that, it really, what does he mean by that? The Greek word translated opportunity in English literally means a springboard or a base of operations. In other words, it's an opportunity for gathering your forces or your will to conduct an operation of indulgences. To gather yourself, to throw off the moral restraints, and to do what you want. To turn freedom into license. The second word is flesh. And it's the Greek word sarx. And it has multiple meanings depending on how it's used. It could mean your physical flesh. Or it could be used in this chapter as an ethical term to describe the fallen human nature. And Paul is clearly describing what happens to those who use their freedom as an opportunity to indulge the lust of human nature, to assert oneself. And its resulting effect is listed in verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. When we place ourselves and our desires above others, it has terrible consequences. The picture Paul is describing in verse 15 is one of wild animals. Animals without restraint, biting and clawing each other to death. The word for devouring there is literally a picture of a starving dog that gulps down a scrap of food. It is a terrible picture. And it's what happens when we use our freedom to serve ourselves. We've all experienced this in some way. If you've been in church any time at all, if you've just lived life, you've experienced someone caught up in their sin and how it breaks families apart. And there's literally a devouring of one another. You've seen that. You've been a part of it. Every one of us carries scars and wounds of those things. The fact is, sin impacts us all. And whether it's other people's sin or our sin, it impacts people around us. Both legalism and indulging the flesh result in a loss of freedom. Both have the appearance of freedom, but are literally chains of slavery that bind a person to them. There isn't freedom in judging others are imposing our own standards of religion upon them. There isn't freedom in doing what I want by putting your own desires above others. There is only bondage in those things. The sad reality is that our bondage just isn't us, but it affects everyone around us. What are we truly free to do then? If I'm not free to be religious, if I'm not free to do what I want, what am I free to do? That's the question, isn't it? What am I free to do? We are called by God, freed by Christ, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve one another in love. That's what we are free to do. The purpose of our freedom is to love others, to serve and to share the love of Christ with the world around us. C.K. Bartlett rightly observes, this is the opposite of flesh, is love. Love that looks away from self and its wishes and even its real needs to its neighbor and spends its resources on his needs. Christian freedom is the freedom to love, therefore freedom to serve. In this passage, Paul brings together this important thought, this concept of freedom and love, and he links it with the very thing that Christ came to set us free from, and that is slavery. He does this with one word that we translate serve, but its root word is doulos. The English word serve misses the meaning behind this word, which is slave. The word doulos means slave. Paul's saying through love, you should make yourself a slave to one another. That's what he's saying. Paul is connecting Christ, self-sacrificing love, with the life of the Christian. In fact, he ties it to Philippians 2, 5, and 8, which says this, make yourself an attitude of Christ, that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, doulos. Your translation, some of them will say servant, but the word there is slave. Taking on the likeness of man, and then he came as a man in his external form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus used his complete freedom. He is co-equal with God. He is completely free to do whatever he wants. And he used his freedom to become a slave in death on a cross. And he did it out of love. He used his freedom to serve others, to give of himself. And when we use our freedom in Christ to become slaves to others in love, Paul says we fulfill the entire law that is summed up in this one statement, love your neighbors as yourself. It is only done through Christ, as Christ works through us. It is only through Christ that this is possible and the freedom that he provides. It is by the empowerment through Christ and the Holy Spirit that we are able to do that. And if you read in verse 16, in the very next verse, he says to walk in the Spirit, because that's how you're going to do it. That's how you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. How you're going to be a slave to love in order to win others to Christ. What does this new love look like for your neighbor? What does it look like? D.L. Lloyd-Jones says this. We see them now, when he's talking about his neighbors, no longer as hateful people who are trying to rob us of our rights or trying to beat us in the race for money or position or fame. We see them as we see ourselves, victims of sin and Satan, as the dupes of the God of this world. I love that line. As fellow creatures who are under the wrath of God and hellbound, we have an entirely new view of them. We see them exactly as we see ourselves, and we are both in a terrible predicament. And we can do nothing. But both of us together must run to Christ and avail ourselves to his wonderful grace. We begin to enjoy it together, and we want to share it together. That's how it works. It is the only way whereby we can ever do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. It is when we are really loving our neighbor as ourselves, because we have been delivered from the thraldom of self. And we begin to enjoy the glorious liberty of the children of God. You are called to be free. Called to be free. free from the bonds of sin and legalism, to become slaves, to love others. That's what this passage is about. You are free to love, free to be who God wants you to be, for His glory and for His purposes. Anything outside of that is not freedom. It's slavery. I want to encourage you to live in the freedom that Christ provides with joy. And I want you to rejoice by sharing that love with others. That is what we're called as Christians. That's what we're called to do. We are free in Christ to be a slave to love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your Son, Jesus, who set the example, Lord, that he became a slave to the cross, Lord, that he gave up his freedom in order to win our freedom. Lord, that is a thought that is just too lofty for me to even try to reach. That in his grace and his love and his mercy, that he would come to us sinners, Lord, to save us, to bring us into fellowship with him. Lord, that's a love I don't understand. And Lord, I pray now, Lord, that you would just fill us all with awe of who Christ is and who we are in him. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, if there's anybody in this room that has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray as we stand this morning and do him an invitation that they would come forward, Lord, and put their faith in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for them according to the Scriptures and was risen on the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said that was the utmost important, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And Lord, I pray for anyone here that has never put their faith in Christ in that way. I pray now, Lord, that they would this morning. And again, Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to live in the freedom that you provide, to love others. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.